Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's, man? Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm singing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
game time!
Ha ha! Welcome to another Parents Culture Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I think I got another wonderful show for you, folks. I think I have another wonderful show for you. So, if you have an opportunity, go ahead and get your pens and papers ready and be prepared to copy down some very good information, some information that I just so happened to catch last week when I listened in on the conversation or the conference call that Mothers of Athletes hosted last week, and it was some very good information. And I'm going to share some of that information with you, along with some insight on some things that I think we need to consider, or we need to put in our thinking cap as we move forward with our children in sports. You know, be them the ones that are pursuing athletic scholarships, or just simply be the ones that are just enjoying life in sports. But, as always, I can't start my show without first going into my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and letting him know I got some things that he could share with us from his perspective, as always. Let me see if we can bring Keith up. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
He said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And that's something that we all should strive to press upon our children to understand. It's okay to be smart. It's okay to be intelligent. It's okay to be that bright and shining star standing amongst the heavens. As always, always, he said he's making smart cool. But like I was saying, I have some information for you this evening that you know, I just took some very copious notes last week when I was listening to a great speaker that they had on Mothers of Athletes conference call, their monthly conference call. You can catch them at Mothers of Athletes. Check out their website, www.mothersofathletes.org, and check them out and see whether or not it's something that fits your program. But we here at the Parents Coach of Parents Network, we're going to do what we have to do and keep things going. And as always, share insight and information with you every time we have an opportunity to make it happen. Every time we have an opportunity to make it happen. So join in on the call if you want to join in this evening. You can reach us at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Always love to have you on the call. join in on the conversation and have any questions or you have any concerns or just have something that you want to share with our listening audience, you know, we always welcome more great and positive information. Always, 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 you know, listen and appreciate more and great positive information. As always, share on the Parents Coach Parents Network. Like I said, I'm going to share some things with you this evening that they talked about last week on the call, you know. But, you know, before I even get into that, I want to say a few things that popped up in my mind, you know, with others that popped up in my mind, should I say, as I was listening to that call. You know, there's a whole lot of us as parents that are out here that have children that's involved in sports, you know, in one fashion or another, whether or not it's at the recreation level or whether or not it's at the school level, be it middle school, high school, or collegiate level. You know, it is so important that we be the biggest voice out there as advocates for our children. And it's not an optional thing. It's something that we should all strive for. Because if we don't do it, then who's going to do it? You know, it's something that we should make sure that our children have the opportunity to make the best out of on every situation, without a doubt. Every situation, without a doubt. Because if we don't do that, then what's going to happen in the long run, our children may miss out. And when they miss out, guess what? It's no longer fun, folks. No longer fun. No longer fun. And when they miss out, in the end, it comes out of our pocket. Yep, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. I said that calling number is 917-889-8095. And I'd love to hear from you this evening to make sure that you're able to join in on the call. I'm also sending this information out via social media. So it will go out to my Facebook friends and my Twitter friends as well. So we're going to send that on out to them, and hopefully we'll have some additional callers to call in and join in on the show this evening. Because if we don't, then guess what? You know, we'll still be here doing what we do, and we're going to make it happen when we can. That's all I got to say about it, you know, because that's the important part of the whole thing, is to get this information out. Well, what am I going to be talking about this evening? I'm going to be talking about some of the changes that came about that the NCAA is going to put out. As of August 2016, you have some time, but you don't have any time. I'm going to put it just like that. You have some time, folks, but you don't have any time. What do I mean by that? August 2016 is right around the corner. Right around the corner. Right around the corner. It's not a thing that we can say or we can look at and just take it for granted and say, okay, well, maybe we can got some time to make some adjustments. I think not. And the reason why I say that, because your kids are already in school. Your kids are already making decisions as far as things that's going on with them. And what I mean by that is they're setting their courses. They're looking at their class schedules. They're taking classes now that's going to affect them 2015, 2016. If you think about it, 2015 is only 2 months away. Or should I say a month and some change away. So 2016 is right around the corner. So August of 2016, grade point average for a Division I qualifier will be a 2.3. The grade point average for a Division I qualifier will be a 2.3. I got this from the conversation last week. But this is what I want to add to our perspective as parents, that the requirement to qualify for Division I, become a Division I athlete, is a 2.3. Then why are we going to allow our high schools to remain at less than a 2.3 or even remain at anything at all? You know, some schools have a 2.0 requirement, but I would say, parents, we need to address the school board and see that that can be even changed to a 2.0 minimum core course requirement. So there's no doubt in our mind that at a bare minimum, our children are qualifying to at least go to a Division I school up until August of 2016. Right now, it should be a bare minimum at every high school country, a bare minimum of a 2.0 core course requirement. A lot of schools have implemented the 2.0 thing, but they're saying 2.0 across the board. So in other words, if you got a D in English, which is one of your core courses, a C minus in your science course, that you have an A in PE, and you have a B plus or A, and whether your other electives, when you add all of that up, that comes up to a minimum of a 2.0 or somewhere close to it. Are we fairly, truly serving our children to the best interest possible if we're allowing something like that to happen? Because once you take those electives out of the picture, once you take that PE out of the picture, that child's grade point average is going to be, if we're talking about a C, which is a 2, and we're talking about a D, which is a 1, and you divide them two, now we have a 1.5 if you divide them between the two of them, a 1.5 GPA. Really? That doesn't even qualify the child to shovel snow in front of my yard. So let's be realistic, folks. Let's be realistic. If the NCAA is currently making the move to do a 2.3 grade point average requirement for a Division I school, why not have our high schools do the same thing? Grandfathering in. Make it a situation so that our children are able to get in to a Division I school at a bare minimum. Those that are interested in playing sports, if nothing else, they will have the grade point average. There won't be a question. If you start working towards that now, all the children that will graduate between now and August of 2016 will have that bare minimum of a 2.0 to get in, and all the ones that's coming in will start working towards that 2.3 that's going to be the bare minimum for them to get in. Let's do that. Let's stop handicapping our children and trying to figure out every angle to undermine the system to try to get them in the cheapest way possible. Because when we do that, when we as parents seriously consider something like that, wow, we are doing our children a very, 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 very serious disservice. And it hurts when we do that. It hurts. Why do it hurt? Because of the simple fact that it hurts me, it should hurt you, and it definitely hurts our children. Why? Because of the simple fact that at the end, when they get to college, if they don't have somebody that's really going to force them to do their very best, their extreme best, in every aspect of academic setting, then guess what? We're going to have some issues. It's going to be no one's fault but ours, because we allowed that to happen. We allowed that to happen because we set our kids up to be put in that situation. So why would we allow that to happen? We won't. We will not. We refuse to. We're going to shut it down. So, parents, step up your game. Let's start pushing towards that 2.3 grade point average for our children. A 2.3 grade point average for our children. Not an optional thing. Parents, it's a must. It is a must. It's something that we're not going to be able to avoid. We can't avoid it. We shouldn't avoid it. We should make every effort to make sure that it's happening. Because if we're not making sure that it happens, then again, we're doing our kids wrong. We're doing our kids wrong. Now, the next thing that I would say, let's look at, you know, ensuring that our kids have a minimum of 10 of their core courses, 10 of their core courses completed by the seventh semester. 10 of their core courses completed by their seventh semester. Again, folks, this is not something that's totally impossible. This is not something that requires rocket science. This is simply something that we need to do to best support our children. This is something that we need to do to best support our children. Because if we don't, again, we're selling our children short. We are selling our children short. And when we do that, what good does that do? What good does that do? What good does that do our children? So, again, let's push for 10 of our core courses completed by the seventh semester. If you only have to have a total of 16 core courses to qualify, you can get 10 of them completed by the seventh semester. It's not a miracle or something that's totally impossible to make happen for our children. That's not the case. Why not make it happen? Why not make it happen? We can do that, folks. Give us a call at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. Love to hear what's going on out there in your world and what your children are doing to better themselves in the world of sports. I'm going to take a little break here. I'm going to go ahead and see what they're talking about in the world of NAIA, and then we'll come right back.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
I think as early as possible. It seems like in this day and age, kids are thinking about it younger and younger, and colleges are actually getting out and communicating with kids as they're younger. So it seems to me, at least by freshman, sophomore year, get an idea of whether you want to play in college, and if the answer to that is yes, start to figure out what your game plan is and move forward.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, we're back. We're back. And like I said, I have some great information for you this evening. Hope you've tuned in. Hope you've been listening. And hope you've been taking some great notes. I was talking about the NCAA requirement changing qualifier for Division I scholarship, 16 core courses as usual, but the GPA will go up as of August 2016 to a 2.3 requirement. We as parents should ensure or insist that our local school systems also take on that very same requirement of ensuring that our children have a minimum of a 2.3 grade point average in order for them to participate in high school sports. And we can also say a 2.3 to make sure that they're able to participate in middle school sports. Now, if you say a 2.3 in middle school sports, I would go as far as being slightly lenient. Not something that I do that often, but I would be slightly lenient and say a 2.3 overall for our middle schoolers. But a 2.3 core course for our high schoolers. That sounds reasonable to me, folks. That sounds reasonable to me. If it doesn't sound reasonable to you, then I'm sorry. But on the academic side, if they want to be, as of August of 2016, they want to be academic redshirt, they got to have that minimum of 2.0, but they can't participate in any competition, even if they have that minimum of a 2.0, they still have to have a SAT score of at least a 1020 or ACT score of at least a 86. Check out the new sliding scale, folks. Check out the new sliding scale. There will be some changes that will be coming up, and you need to be aware of it. If your child's participating in sports, you will definitely need to be aware of it. Next, I would like to go on and talk about Division II. As of August 2018, they're going to change their minimum requirement to a 2.2 for that's Division II. Again, if your child's already at a grade point average of a 2.3, that Division II minimum requirement as of August 2018 should not be a factor. At that time, the Division II will come out with their own sliding scale. Has not been developed yet, but it will probably look very similar to what the Division I is currently using. Now, currently with our Division II, Division II has the ability to look at core courses after the child has graduated. Let me back up here a second. If your child is not on track to graduate and you decide to reclassify your child, that reclassification is going to do very little for your child in the area of increasing that child's grade point average. That child's grade point average is accumulated based upon the 8 semesters that he or she attended during their high school time period. And what I mean by 8 semesters, the clock starts as of when they step into their high school their freshman year. you have two semesters a year. Normally goes from August or September, whenever the child starts back to school after the summer break, up until mid to late January. Then from there to the end of the school year, when that child gets ready to step back out again on a summer break. First semester, second semester. A total of 8 semesters the NCAA will review to ensure that you have met the 16 core course requirements. Now, for those of you who are out there and are having your children to reclassify, you may want to reach out to your guidance counselor and to the eligibility center to see what value have you added to your child's opportunity qualified once that child has reclassified. Reclassify, folks, is a new term, the new buzzword that's out there that these folks are doing, that, you know, that some of us are doing. I shouldn't say folks are doing. I should say some of us are doing in order to give our children, or we believe that we are giving our children, a better opportunity to qualify for school. NCAA is letting you know reclassification holds no value in their books. Okay, so if your child is on that or has reclassified, then, you know, at the end of their 8th semester, the NCAA will look at their transcript and see where that 8th semester has closed out, and they will go from there. All the other things at that point are good to have. I noticed one of the questions that came up last week, we were talking about, and this was on the conference call with the mothers of athletes as they were discussing a few key things. And one of the questions that came up, and I'm not sure if that question or if that parent, question was answered very clearly for that parent. And I was kind of concerned because it didn't appear that that parent received a fair question. You know, when you talk about the NCAA and talk about the Eligibility Center is a repository for tracking our children's grades. That repository just basically looks at what our children scored on the SAT, ACT, and what the child's grade point average is, based upon that information being sent to the Eligibility Center. Now, that information is being sent to the Eligibility Center at two different opportunities. First opportunity is during the child's midway through the child's senior year. The Eligibility Center or the child's high school sends that information in. Again, at the end of the senior year, that information is sent in again to ensure that that child has the opportunity to get a full official copy of his or her transcript on file with the NCAA. Now, that transcript, or should I say the Eligibility Center, does not look at whether or not your child is in a prep school, private school, or public school. The NCAA simply looks at it from the standpoint of, is this school legally certified to do business as a member service institution or as an institution registered with the NCAA, and in a lot of cases also registered with the National Federation of High Schools. So, if that school is not registered, if that school is not out there and have the information on board, guess what? That school can have some of the best courses available. But if that school is not providing this information to the NCAA, then we may have another problem. We may have another problem. And what I mean by that is your child may be taking courses just for the sake of taking courses. Because if that information is not being received by the eligibility center, if that information is not, if that school is not listed as a valid institution for academic studies, then in the end, we may have another problem. So you want to make sure that that is the case. Because if that's not the case, then your child is just wasting a whole lot of time. Again, when you're looking at private schools, prep schools, and other institutions that are registered, the colleges, universities, take that information under consideration and say, oh, he attended such and such private school or whatever the name of the prep school is. Now that information is being considered by the institution of higher, the college. That information is being considered and being highly looked at if that is a very prominent prep school or very prominent private school that's out there. But if it's not, then they're going to take it for what it's worth. They're going to take it for what it's worth. Because last week when that question came up, I was kind of concerned because, again, I said that I don't think that the parent got justice in their answer. As a result, they may have walked away slightly frustrated or even to the point of being confused. And we want to, by all means, avoid that issue if at all possible. We don't want anybody to walk away confused. We want everybody to be clear on what information they're getting, how they're getting it, and the source behind them getting that information. So the institutions are being looking at the type of school that your child is attending and the type of courses that your child is taking, whether or not your child is taking advanced courses or honors courses or college prep courses or whatever the case may be. The universities and the colleges are looking at that, not the eligibility center, not the NCAA. Okay, moving right along on some more things that we have here. I stress the point of high schools making the changes, and these changes should be done now, not in 2015. These changes should be put on the table now. If your school board is up for election, you may want to get into the ear of one of your local school board members and see if they can start implementing some of this stuff now, folks. That the minimum requirement for our children to play sports in high school is a 2.3. Core course. Don't just stop it at a 2.3. 2.3 core course. Yeah, that may shake a few trees. Yeah, that may not be the popular decision at the time. But I think in the end, you will appreciate it. Your school will appreciate it. I know the colleges will appreciate it. And in the end, if your child's on board and really on point, he or she will appreciate it. You know, I'm not going to push it and try to say, okay, let's really and truly push it up to a 2.5 or higher or 3.0 or higher. I know that there are a lot of parents out there that are striving for that and are pushing for that. There are some great parents out there trying to do some great things. But you know as well as I know, all of our children don't learn the same. My overall goal and mission and vision is to try to get as many kids into college as possible. And if those kids have an athletic talent that they can use to get into college, why not we assist them? Why not we assist them? Why not we be the guiding hands to get them to where they need to go and help them sustain while they are there? Parents, I want to jump on another subject real quick. The transfer rule. And what I mean by that, I'm talking to those parents who have kids that are currently in college. Or parents that your children will be going to college this time next year, will be in a member institution this time next year, be it Division I, II, III, NAIA, whatever. The transfer rules. Parents, it's up to us to step up to the plate and make noise and let the NCAA know that we are concerned, that we are seriously interested in finding out why the transfer rule cannot be modified to accommodate if that child was to transfer to another school. You know, we see it happen all the time. The coaches are doing it. And oftentimes when they do it, they'll leave one member institution and go to another institution without any repercussions or any penalties or anything whatsoever slowing them down or hindering them from stopping or stopping them from getting on the court that very same day that they walk into that institution. A coach can literally get fired from one school. Another school come along, pick him up. And it's business as usual the very next day. No, that is wrong. If our children had an academic suspension or a serious NCAA violation and they tried to transfer to another school, they wouldn't be able to play. Wouldn't be able to participate. So why is it that these coaches are able to do that? Parents, that's where our voice as parents need to be heard. Our voice as parents need to be heard. Again, this is not an optional thing, parents. This is something that we really and truly have to do. Have to do. Has to be a must because it's doing a disservice for our children, disservice for our children. I'd be willing to bet if they say a coach, if you're fired, you have to sit out at least for a year. I bet you the schools will tighten up then. Coach, if you're under a NCAA violation, you have to sit out for a year. Or if you're found guilty of an NCAA violation, you got to come out of your pocket and pay the fine or face being suspended for 5 years. I bet you some schools will tighten up then. Come on, parents. These are our kids we're talking about. These are our kids that are receiving these harsh punishments. A child being suspended for receiving a bag of Skittles from a potential booster. Really? Does that make sense to you? I bet you that's one of the NCAA rules. I'd be willing to bet that's one of the NCAA rules. So, is that truly a justice that we should allow to take place? We are talking about our kids again, parents. We are talking about our children. Again, you know, you look at some of these things that take place in these institutions. What are we going to say as parents? Enough is enough. Or let's level the playing field. Let's make it so that our children are able to see over the fence the same way that coach is able to see over the fence. I shouldn't say level the playing field because if they take a stool and put it underneath the feet of both parties and the coach is already raised to a high level, then that doesn't really and truly do anything for our children. Less making sure that everyone is able to see over the fence at the same height. And our children are getting the same type of justice and justification and equality that coaches are getting. Of course, they're not going to, and we can continue to argue that point as well, they're not going to pay the children as they're paying these coaches. And that's a whole nother conversation. That's a conversation for another day. But that would be an equally rewarding and great conversation as well. Coaches are receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're being paid more than many of the professors at the institutions. And we don't see anything wrong with that. That's a problem in itself. A problem in itself. Give us a call at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. We love to hear from you. Love to hear some of your thoughts, some of your comments, some of your questions, and see how we here at the Parents Coach Parents Network can help you, support you, aid you, guide you through the process of college recruiting, and guide you through the process of helping your child get through the high school level, the middle school level, because that's where we have to start the ball rolling. At the middle school level and continue on from there at the high school level once that time comes. Going to step away for a second, folks, and we'll be right back.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, we're back. We've been talking about some things here, folks, and hopefully I shared some stuff with you this evening that, kind of made you scratch your head and wonder, you know, okay, where are we at? Where are we at in this process of college recruiting? And are we up to date on some of the things that that's going on out there, you know. One of the things that we highlighted today was as of August 2016, the grade point average for Division I qualifiers will jump up to 2.3. The point I wanted to stress on that was we as parents have to ensure or start trying to encourage our local high schools to take on that same challenge. Start getting our kids in the mindset of a 2.3 being the right thing to do. Bare minimum. If you want to participate in sports, 2.3. as they said, the NCAA 2.3 or take a knee. If we started at the middle school level and we stretch it out, give them a break, you know, coming in there at sixth grade, and then that 2.3 starts when they get to seventh and eighth grade. Automatically, you come in as a sixth grader on a waiver. Seventh and eighth grade, you have to have a 2.3 minimum. And if you want to do the same thing, do the very same thing at the high school level. Freshman year, you come in there, you got to have a minimum of a 2.3 to play. Sophomore, junior, senior year, you have to have a 2.3 in your core classes. Oh, I got an answer for you. I got an answer that's going to say to you that we should be doing this for our kids. We have to do this for our kids. And if we're not doing this for our kids, we're doing our kids a disservice. We are seriously doing our kids a disservice. When we start talking about that 2.3 and we start talking about our core classes, we have to have at least 10 of our core classes completed before the seventh semester. Seventh semester, folks, let's look at this very simplistically. The seventh semester is the start of your fourth year in high school. I didn't say the start of your senior year. I said the start of your fourth year in high school. Excuse me. And what I mean by that, your fourth year in high school being, if you started high school your freshman year, that's your first year, two semesters there. Your second year, two semesters there, that's four semesters. Your third year, your junior year, two semesters there, that's six semesters. Your fourth year in high school, the start of that seventh semester, when you go back that August, or when you go back that September, your child should have at least 10 of those core courses completed. The 10 of the core courses should be in. Seven of those 10 courses have to be in English, math, or science. English, math, or science. Coming out August 2016. 2.3 core course requirement. 2.3 GPA core course requirement. Folks, this is an issue that we should allow to sneak up on us, hit us in the head, or anything of the such. This is something that we can take the advantage of now, get ahead of the power curve, and when that time comes, our children are ready to move on and move forward. So how are we going to attack that? How are we going to approach this? Take action on it now. Take action on it now. And if we take action on it now, we get ahead of it now, we'll be better off later on down the line. That's just the way I see it. That's just the best way I see it. You know, I'm not saying it to handicap anybody. I'm just simply saying it to say that that's just the best way that I see this being a positive note for all. This being a positive note for all. Give us a call, 917-889-8095. I'd love to hear from you this evening. I know that you got something to add to the conversation. My voice is starting to become a little scratchy, but definitely it is something that I can make through the broadcast. And if I can make it through the broadcast, guess what? We will definitely be all right. Definitely be all right. You know, as I think about, you know, that requirement that's coming out, that the NCAA has coming out, and I'm going to keep saying it till it's carved in stone in your head so that you understand that it's a requirement that our children could be ahead of by the time it rolls around. The minimum grade point average of a 2.3 as of August 16th, as of August 2016. Let's start looking at this from the perspective of our kids having this minimum grade point average as a high school, as a high school student, minimum grade point average of a 2.3 in high school. Yes, I understand that's going to make a few of them have to work a little harder. That's going to make a few of them have to work a little harder. There now. Okay. Let's say this. Put it out there now. Current students that are in class now are freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Okay. You're all going to get a pass. You all will get a pass. Freshman year that comes into play, the freshman year that steps into school, August or September of 2016, has to have a minimum of 2.3 overall. 2.3 overall minimum to play. That senior class that's in school. No, the freshman class that steps in school, 2.3 to play. And start from that point, start working forward to make sure that this thing is successful. Parents, I need you to start having this conversation with your school board members. I need you to start having this conversation with your superintendents. Because I want to see as many of our young kids in college as possible. No, they don't all have to go to the Dukes. They don't all have to go to the Carolinas. They don't all have to go to the Kentuckys. They don't all have to go to the UCLAs. But can we get as many of our kids in school as possible? Can we? Can we? That's all I want to know. Can we get as many of our kids in school as possible? And if we can do that, I think that'll be a great thing. That will be a great thing. Because if you don't do it, then we're selling our kids short. Selling our children short. Parents, not an optional thing. It's a thing of a must. It's a thing that if we really and truly want to help our kids, we'll make sure it happens. We'll start pushing forward on ensuring that it happens. If you agree with me, you agree with me. If you don't agree with me, I understand. But I think it's something that we really and truly need to start doing. Just like the transfer rule. Needs to be some noise raised with the NCAA about the transfer rule. And quite a few other little issues that's out there. We can look at a number of issues that the NCAA has. Reason why they're not paying us any attention, and the reason why they're not making any changes to it. Because we as citizens, we as parents, we as folks that have the right to make the change, because these are our children that you're talking about. These are our children that they're making these billions of dollars off of. We're not letting them know that we have some concerns or we have some issues. Or we just want to have a conversation on it. Why not? Again, these are our children. This is an issue that should concern each and every one of us. If you don't think so, then I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that. If you don't think so, sorry to hear that. Because we're not doing anything but doing our children a very serious disservice. So, on that note, we're going to prepare to wind down, folks. I thought I was going to have somebody that was going to tune in and be interested in hearing what we had to say today. And I'm kind of disappointed that we don't. because I think this was a valuable conversation. I think this was a conversation that required some dialogue. And if you don't think it requires some dialogue, then okay, I understand. I understand. Truly understand. But folks, we're gonna have to make a move sooner or later. We're gonna have to make a move sooner or later. If not, then we're going to be all our children are going to experience some very serious issues. All right, folks. Well, we've been on here chatting, bumping our guns for a good little piece now. And we're about the last 3 minutes and about to wind down. So I'm just going to go ahead and close out at this note and just say, hey, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. We'll see you again next week. Tune in. Check out our Facebook page, Parents Coaching Parents Network. Check out our event page. We pop up with events from time to time, especially if we're going to highlight some major information on who our special guests will be. And I think we'll probably have one next week. Well, we love to hear from you. Keith, take us out.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
It's almost time. You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's man?
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to do some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.